For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 130. Psalm 130, where we read God's holy word, a song of degrees. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, that thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So far the reading of the scripture. On this and other part of the scripture is derived of what we read in Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 2. Lord's Day 1, question and answer 2. There is questioned, how many things are necessary for thee to know, that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Beloved congregation, last time we made a start with the study of the Heidelberg Catechism as we listened to the question about the only comfort both in life and death. We thought about the necessity of the comfort and the content of it. The content of this comfort is summarized in one sentence, namely that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And before this answer is explained in the other Lord's days, another question is asked, namely the question about how we can know whether we really share in this comfort. You can talk about comfort, but do you know this comfort by experience? How do you know the Lord? How do you know the Lord has worked in your heart by his Spirit? How can you know whether you are not your own, but that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are there marks by which you can know this? Is that your question? Would you like to know whether you belong to him? Is it the question that comes up in your heart over and over? Am I his or not? How can I share in this abundant blessing? I hope you sense that this is a personal question that requires a personal answer. The instruction this morning is personal. For we hear the teacher asking, how many things are necessary for thee to know? The answer is quite short. It comes down to knowing three things, three parts, subjects or lessons: knowledge of sins and miseries, knowledge of deliverance or salvation, and knowledge of gratitude or thankfulness. Three areas that we come across in other Reformed documents as well, like the form of baptism. There we read, The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First of all, baptism pointing to our sin, our misery. Secondly, baptism pointing to the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ, thus our salvation. Thirdly, baptism obliging us to know obedience, which is our gratitude. These three are crucial in Reformed experiential doctrine. We find them in the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper as well. So it's proper to pay special attention to these three lessons. Lessons we all have to know from our hearts so that we will be truly comforted in life and death. So we write above the sermon, knowing the three things necessary for our salvation: the necessity of this knowledge and the content of this knowledge. Knowing the three things, the necessity of this knowledge and the content of this knowledge. Let me briefly say something about the word know. How many things are necessary for thee to know? Last time we pointed out that when the Heidelberg Catechism uses the verb know, it does not mean head knowledge. It means knowledge from the heart. It is important, young people, to see this clearly. Learning from the Heidelberg Catechism has to be different than what you learn from school. What you learn about language, mathematics, history, and so on, is what you learn by heart. The aim is that you keep it in your mind. But the purpose of the teaching from the Heidelberg Catechism is that you keep it in, that you keep it in your head, and that it enters your heart. For the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism is all about instruction from Scripture. You have to learn it from the heart. No mom or dad can teach you this, neither our Rehabilitation school. You need the instruction from the school of the Holy Spirit. But what about the necessity to know these three things? The authors Zacharias Ursines and Caspar Olivianus use a strong expression: how many things are necessary to know? In the answer, we find the things which we have to be known. It is all well-founded thesis. It sounds like a strict rule whereby we have to prove our Reformed doctrine. There are always men who don't want to know anything about the three things. They are here today as well. Certainly, when you listen to progressive evangelicals and charismatics, they reject these three sections as a rule that covers all of Christian life. Someone may say, I have listened carefully last time. I would suggest that only one thing is needful. Like David says in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And like Mary did, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You're right. But what do you learn at the feet of the Lord Jesus? What do you learn in the Lord's house? Would it not be these three things? No, say someone else. I know what the Lord Jesus teaches when you are sit at his feet. Namely, fear not, believe only. Only faith can save you. The only thing you need is faith. Just believe. You don't need more. You don't need to know these three things. No, says someone else, that's not true. You need not only faith, you need repentance as well. What does the Bible say about this? That you cannot be saved without knowing these three things. Because from what do you have to turn back if you don't know how great your sins are? How can you believe if you don't know the work of salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ? When you truly know the Lord Jesus by faith, you will discover how great your sins and miseries are, and how you can be delivered from all the power of sin and devil, and you will know something of the true gratitude to God. It is as simple as that. I would like to support this statement with a few examples from Scripture so that we will see where these three parts come from. The three things you have to know is clearly explained in the Bible. For instance, Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14. And ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Recognize you the three things? In this portion of the Scripture, it's about people who seek and ask for the Lord. Why do they seek? Because they have lost the Lord. Because they are in the midst of misery. But then the Lord will find and deliver them. Appealing in this context are the Psalms. In the Psalms, you find these three things frequently. With the Psalms, we look into the heart of the believer. The Psalms teach us about the manner on which the Lord works in man's heart. You can really notice this in the Psalm which we have just read. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 130 in verse 3 and 4. We read about the knowledge of sin and misery, about deliverance and gratitude. Verse 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Knowledge of sin. But there is forgiveness with thee. That's the deliverance. That thou mayest be feared. Gratitude. You can also think of the text from Romans 7, where we read almost literally about misery, deliverance, and thankfulness. Romans 7, verse 24 and 25, where we read, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Misery, deliverance, gratitude. Do not accuse Ursines and Olivianus of making a system of salvation. They only open the Bible and we hear Scripture speaking in its beauty. The Scriptures are the touchstone to test our faith. The three things we have to know are not a system, but it is the way in which man actually will repent and believe, namely in the knowledge of these three parts. It is the way of salvation, the way in which I can share in the benefits of Christ. So these three sections are not only biblically founded, but also need to be known from the heart. That is the way of true conversion. This happens when you receive a new heart, when you are born again. We have to know these things from the heart, otherwise we will not be comforted in life and death. You cannot enjoy this comfort by missing one of the three elements. We cannot separate the three things. Someone might think that you first of all have to know sufficient knowledge of sin before salvation comes into view. But knowledge of my sins and miseries does not lead automatically to the knowledge of deliverance. True comfort will fail if we disconnect knowledge of sin from knowledge of deliverance and gratitude. Indeed, knowledge of my sin on its own is most hopeless case you can think of. Comfortless, because this knowledge convinces you what life without God is, that is living under the dominion of sin, heeding for destruction and perdition. Then you are under condemnation. How terrible! Knowledge of your sins and miseries does not automatically result in a knowledge of salvation. We cannot comfort ourselves with the thought that my knowledge of sin and misery will lead to salvation. Only if the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, the knowledge of sins will lead us to the knowledge of deliverance and true gratitude. Take the history of Cain and Abel. Cain had a clear knowledge of his sin. He had slain his brother Abel. He deserved punishment from God. At one point, he was so convinced of the seriousness of his crime that he acknowledged that he deserved God's punishment. He was a convicted sinner. He was so overwhelmed of the seriousness of his crime that he cried out, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." What kind of knowledge was that? Knowledge that did not come from the Spirit. For this knowledge did not bring him to God, but away from God. He did not look for deliverance and did not seek forgiveness with God. Or think of Esau. He had a great knowledge of sin, of his misery, when he realized that he had to be blamed for missing the greater blessing because he had traded it for a cup of lentil soup. He cried in despair. He wanted to get his blessing. He was moved to tears. He saw his misery, but he did not find comfort, no true comfort, as we read in Hebrew 12. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. What does it mean? He grieved about his sin. He knew his misery. He was very sorry about it. But there was no sorrow after God. He just felt sorry for himself. He found no place for repentance. That means that there was no room in his heart for repentance to God. And what do you think of Judas? He had a knowledge of sin. Hear him saying in his desperation, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." A cry, but not to God. A cry without any hope. A cry that never stopped. Where does crying never stop? In hell. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not caused by the knowledge of sin, but of self-accusation. "I wish I had sought God." Although they had knowledge of sin and misery, it did not bring them to God. How different when the Lord convicts you of sin and misery by His Spirit. For when He convicts of sin, it is never without hope. When the Holy Spirit reproves you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, He will never do it without making us desirous for deliverance. He never convicts without giving hope for salvation through Jesus Christ. This hope of salvation is maybe not so clear and not always so strong. Although you do not have clarity about your salvation, you are not distraught, for you put your hope in God. It is also a knowledge of redemption. You cannot separate it from the knowledge of misery and of gratitude. For sure, there are so-called Christians who say that they are delivered and saved. They can always speak about it. Jesus saves you. Jesus loves you. And they can even say that the Lord died for their sins. But when you probe them in some detail about their sin and misery, they have nothing much to say. Then it appears that their knowledge of sin is superficial. They believe that it is not necessary to be any longer concerned about their sins, for they are forgiven. They say, "Don't worry about your sins. Christ has delivered from all sins." But when I read the testimonies of God's children in the Bible, I hear the deep tones of a living awareness of sin and misery. The prayer of the publican never becomes obsolete. "God be merciful to me, a sinner." It can never be just a thing of the past, something you leave behind. No, does not daily life teach us that we should be brought to the disposition of the publican every day? I need grace to make me honest before God, and grace to seek my deliverance in Christ time and again. We can compare this only comfort with a chain of three links. I would say a golden chain, for it is a chain of the only comfort in life and death, namely that I belong to Jesus Christ. What is the content of the knowledge of this comfort? It is the link of the knowledge of sin, of the knowledge of deliverance, and of the knowledge of gratitude. We cannot miss one link, and we cannot separate them. They are various links in one chain, various links which are interlocked and so close to each other. There is a certain order in these three sections. The Heidelberg Catechism mentions a numeral in the answer. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. It is not a particular system, but an order of God through which He grants His comfort. It becomes a system if we claim that we first have to know our sins and misery thoroughly. You do need to know a certain degree of knowledge of your sins. You have to be painfully aware of your misery. Some people claim that you must experience some despair. Only then can you receive deliverance. Your knowledge of sin must have reached a certain depth before you are delivered. This way of arguing runs the risk that my own experiences become the condition for deliverance. The three things are then stages I have to go through. Like at school, you advance from grade to grade. How are we to see it then? The first, the second, and the third do not form a chronological order in the first place, but a biblical order. This is the way in which the Lord works. Nobody will pray for deliverance without knowing where he has to be delivered from. And no one will ask for a doctor without feeling sick. Take a look in the Bible. Forgiveness of sin is always linked with the knowledge and confession of sin. Confession means knowing your sins and misery from the heart and freely speak to God about it. Making confession means saying the same things. Making confession of sin means that I agree with God about what He says about my sin. It means that I agree when He points out my guilt and misery. But if you do not know any uncovering work of the Spirit, you will not truly ask for deliverance. Of this we have a clear example in the Scripture, in the first epistle of John, chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the way of confessing our sins, we receive forgiveness of sin. We cannot start with the deliverance or gratitude. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 9, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 5, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." When the Holy Spirit shows you something from what you have to be saved, you will also need the Lord Jesus. And when the Spirit shows you something of the preciousness of Christ's salvation, you will marvel about God. You begin to long for a life of holiness, a life of His, to His honor and glory. The person who begins to know these three things by grace will never stop learning. He will get a deeper and deeper insight into these three things. Growing in faith means more and more knowledge of the comfort that is in Jesus Christ. Here we know in part. That is what we read at the end of the Heidelberg Catechism as well. In a treatment of the section of gratitude, we read a question, but can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? No, but even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience. The greatest in the kingdom of God knows just a small beginning of the three things which are necessary to know. That is how we find God's children in the Scripture. Think about David, the man after God's heart. Although he knew something of the only comfort in life and death, he was still inclined to commit sin after sin. Yes, the most horrible sins. Think of the sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah. It's not an expressing of his gratitude to God, isn't it? But God uncovers his sin through the prophet Nathan. David's heart breaks under the prophet's uncovering message. He repents and confesses his sins. After this confession, Nathan proclaims him, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." And in Psalm 51, we read about David's gratitude. What did that mean for David? He saw more than ever how sinful he was. "Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." After this he prayed, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." In this lifetime, the knowledge of the three things will not be complete. If we could see all our sins in its true nature, we will see them as God sees them. But who can? And if you could, we would be able to bear the burden? It follows that the knowledge of the deliverance and gratitudes is only in part. After this lifetime, it will be full. In heaven, the saints of God experience without limitation what it means to be delivered from sin and death. In heaven will be sung, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Gratitude will be endless. Thankfulness to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now we know in part, although the Lord leads his children to more knowledge in different degrees. Some may have to go a deeper way to have their sin and misery uncovered than others. Man may be touched by the forgiving love of Christ and will be led to the true knowledge of his sin from that point on. You see, every link of the chain is connected with the other. It goes from one link to the other, with the one suddenly, with the other more gradually. But they all learn the same. They learn to take refuge to Christ with their sins and miseries. How much knowledge of sin is necessary? What is true knowledge? The Catechism does not say anything about the degree that has to be known, but about the character of knowledge. True knowledge of sin does not mean that you can tell a lot about your sins. You better leave behind all the stories about your sinful life. Let it be a case between you and God. How much knowledge is needed? So much that you cannot stand to be without Christ. Is that your question? How much knowledge is necessary? Can you ask it without tears? True knowledge starts by asking for the Lord. True knowledge seeks the Lord. True knowledge does not bring you in despair, but to God who saves sinners, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you seek deliverance and forgiveness with him. The Lord leads his children in different ways. We better not compare one way with the other. Christ is willing to deliver man. Who? Those who cannot live without him. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Maybe you agree with this all. You know you are a sinner. But to say that you know the deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ is much more difficult. You are not sure that you know this deliverance by experience. Maybe you think your problem is that you do not know true deliverance. It can be that there is another reason why you do not know deliverance. You wonder about what reason? That you do not have true knowledge of your sin and misery. You and I need the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit. With that work, we cannot stay any longer in our sins. Then we will take refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hopelessness and helplessness. You admit, the Lord is righteous when he sends me away. But for you, only one way remains: to take refuge to the Lord Jesus. Keep in mind that in the three things, it is all about one name and one person. It's about the only comfort when we think about the knowledge of sins, deliverance, and gratitude. The only comfort is Jesus Christ. What matters in knowing the three things is knowing Christ. We do not have true knowledge of the three things if we do not know Christ, or if we do not seek Christ. Because with a true knowledge, I will look to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The Lord makes room in the heart of his people for his own salvation. The more I see Christ, the more I will see what I lack, the more I will love him. He suits perfectly with a sinner. When the Holy Spirit teaches us, we will see the things that were hidden before. Just like the Lord Jesus opened the eyes of the man from Emmaus, then you discover the fountain that is opened for the house of David, for all sin and for all uncleanness. Do you understand that if you may experience something of this, gratitude cannot be missing? Then the Lord will also teach us his will and way. You begin to cherish it. Your desire is focused on his love and on his commandments. Like the poet wrote, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Not because you have to, not because you have to, but because you love to, out of gratitude. Then do we sing praises to the Lord all the days of our life? No. I would say, unfortunately not. In seeking to live according to God's commandments, you discover that you know so little of the new obedience. Sinful tendencies and desires still remain in your heart. So many times I am focused on self instead of God. Oh, how miserable is my nature. You see, we are back at the beginning. Knowledge of my sins and miseries. You need the Lord more and more. Just in the gratitude, you need him more and more. It keeps going to know my misery, to know deliverance in Christ, to know true gratitude. You become a poor sinner more and more. You will marvel about the deliverance in Christ more and more. The Lord puts true gratitude in your heart more and more. Tell me, do you have to complain about a lack of this knowledge? Won't you bend your knees in humble prayer? For thou, O Lord, art good and kind, and ready to forgive thou art. Abundant mercy they shall find who call on thee with all their heart. Amen.